The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Before we get to, and there's plenty of it, stuff with the Green Bay Packers. We've got Micah Parsons' reaction. Now, nobody spoke yesterday because, as Chewy taught us, yesterday was Tuesday up in Green Bay.
Oh.
Today is Wednesday. So nobody spoke yesterday. Technically, yesterday was the off day, Chew.
Yep.
So today is Wednesday because they play Saturday. So Saturday is Sunday, and then you have to work your way back there. Friday is Saturday. Thursday is Friday. So today is Wednesday in the NFL players world. If you assume every day you play is Sunday, today ends up being Wednesday up there. So we've got plenty of things to dive in there. But I just quickly, this is a question I want to ask you and Josh. What do you guys keep in your junk drawers? And where is your junk drawer? Everybody's got one, right?
I got a couple of them. I've been called a closet stuffer, which I am.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a closet stuffer.
Do you know what you're stuffing in the closet? Like, the only reason I could think being a closet stuffer would be difficult is you don't know what closet you stuffed something in, and then you ultimately, you're looking for it and you can't find it because there's just too much stuff in that closet.
Well, the problem is, it's which house is it at, Gabe?
No.
we run into that all the time.
It's not a problem Josh or I have.
I know I just bought dish detergent at a house.
Well, which
Where
one?
Is it at?
Which
so,
one?
Closet stuffer, let's see. Well, I have kind of a closet box in shelves in the kitchen. It has antiquated cords for iPhones, plugs.
Like the iPhone 6.
Lighters.
Okay.
Were candle people.
Yep.
Were fire people outside. That menus, right?
Yeah, yeah, menu is a good thing to throw in the junk drawer.
Although menus are such a waste.
Well, now
they're all on the internet.
Yeah, now it's easy because you just pull up the phone.
Yeah.
You know, like even 10 years ago, not everybody was posting their menu online. So, yeah, if you wanted to order carry out or delivery, you actually had to look at, you know, pull out the Chinese menu that you've got in the old junk drawer.
What I don't like is... with the ordering online, like, why do you have to have Apple Pay and whatever all the other ones? Why can't you just pay with a credit card?
You can.
There's a place. No, there's not. There's a place that doesn't even allow you to do that, which is so stupid. And I like the place, but that will prevent me from ordering there and going to pick up.
If we were to do some problem solving here, what's more likely? You don't know where to enter your credit card, or they only allow Apple Pay.
Just to remind the audience, this coming from a guy who didn't realize he could use his debit card like a credit card. He thought the only reason he had a debit card is to go to the ATM and take cash out.
Well, Josh, you can use the credit card as long as you call in and place the order. But you know me. So my wife's new thing is, who have you talked to today?
Because you have what? It's a minimum. Is it six people? You have to talk to six people every day?
Yeah, but I said, I talked to Josh. I talked to Gabe. I talked to Chef. No, that doesn't count. Why doesn't that count?
If we had callers?
So, callers?
Like you talked to Caleb in Horicon yesterday. Does that count?
It should. I talked to the Home Depot person the other day checking me out.
Yeah?
But back to
again,
Josh's
question. just in case there are any spies, nobody was actually checking Chewy out. They were just making sure he got his things and was paying for them. Nobody was actually checking Chewy out.
Like, what do you guys have? Do you have Apple Pay? Do you have what's the other one?
Are you Venmo? You ready to have your mind blown?
Yeah.
My Apple Pay is my credit card.
Yep.
I don't trust it. I don't. No, I don't. And you should.
Why?
Because too many people. I mean, come on. Google knows. Google knows what I'm doing right now.
What does Google have to do with Apple Pay?
Because my phone's on.
Yeah.
Because Google gets together with the people at Apple Pay, and they're like, hey, you got this guy's credit card number? We want to zing him for a little, I don't trust.
I use Apple Pay often. Zero instances of my stuff being stolen. They have 100% accuracy rate. I'm not stealing my credit card.
And let's be honest, Chu. Even let's say you used Apple Pay and something went awry.
Yeah.
Would you be the one handling the situation, or would the general come in?
The general would.
Yeah.
But I now have a different set of rules as of something that happened about 3 weeks ago. So the rules have changed. But there's just...
Why would the rules change?
You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of... You either adapt to this or nothing. Like, Gabe, the ticket thing to go to sporting events, I don't want it on my phone. I want a piece of paper that says Section 4, Seat 22. That's what I want.
Again, not
shocking. They don't even give you that option.
Yes, that is correct. I mean, in order to get a paper ticket, you've got to go through quite a few hoops in order to get that paper ticket. Yes.
Which is wrong. And I see older people struggle with it. I used to see older people struggle with this stuff and get frustrated. Now I don't.
Now you don't see them because they figured it out and you haven't?
No. I still see them struggle, but I'm not frustrated with them because there is so much technology arrogance is maybe the worst thing out there. Just slow down. That's all I'm asking. Slow down.
But it's easier to sell tickets. Like, let's say you buy tickets to a Bucks game, right? It's easier for you to sell them if you don't have to get the paper tickets to someone. It's easier for you to sell it if you can just go on an app and, here are your tickets. Or transfer them.
If by some miracle I decide to go to a Bucks game, I'm not going to sell the tickets.
Yeah, but you're going to buy them, and you're going to buy them online. And guess what's going to be the easiest way for you to get your tickets?
Go get a stamp, Bucks. Have my address, put the stamp on the envelope, stuff the tickets in there, and send them to my house.
What if you decide that you want to go on a Tuesday night and the game's on Wednesday night? Those tickets ain't getting there fast enough.
We'll call.
Like, I still get a paper ticket at the airport.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware. I am very aware. This is a great idea from Ryan McGuanago on the Car Blues Talk and Text Line. New daily segment. Chewy takes six calls and six calls only.
to hit my quota?
To
I kind of like
your
that.
Your quota, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I text a lot. I text a lot of people. Like yesterday, I probably texted eight people.
So is it difficult for you? So like Jen is out all this week. She's on vacation with her family, you know, kind of taking a little bit of time between, you know, when college football games are happening with the playoff. So does that make it more difficult for you to hit your quota? Because typically you would be able to count Jen, correct? Like if all three of us plus Josh are on the show, that's half your quota. You talk to all three of us because we're doing a two-hour show together. So how much harder is it for you to hit your quota when somebody's not here?
I just talked to a few more people at the gym. But the problem is this. My wife spends the entire day on the phone.
Okay.
From 7 in the morning till 6 at night.
She's putting out a lot of fires.
That's it. Just negotiating this, that. So if she wants to play the work card, I'm going to win.
What do you mean? What work card is she playing?
All she talks to is people at work. That's it. That's it. So I'm fine with doing away the quota when it comes to work because she'll have zero and I'll still have like three or four. So it's kind of BS.
But she has not put a quota on how many people she has to talk to in a day.
No.
This is more worried. Yeah. She's worried about you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. This is
like this morning we were negotiating the power in the household.
How'd that go for you?
Are you talking about electricity
80/20.
Or
I said no. Like you guys all know about the steam hole or the steam roller. She wanted to go to see Sinatra tonight, Christmas special downtown. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Today is Tuesday.
Yeah, that's no. We don't do that kind of stuff. But I let it go because of
other considerations.
And if by the grace of God, she said, "Oh, it's sold out," and I'm like, "Thank you." And then she followed it up with, well, I'm going to email the lady and say if there's any openings, will you contact us? I'm like, just let it go.
What is it
in your household? Hold on. Now, you guys don't act like you're captains of the ship, because you're not. Joshy, you clearly aren't.
I've never claimed to be.
The parties you have there, you have no control.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to implement a policy and literally
was laughed
in his face. Yeah, hey, let's institute a policy where contraptions have to be run by me, and I can approve or deny the contraption, and he got laughed at.
So what's the percentage in household? Gabe, I see you as probably 50-50, 60-40.
Yeah, it's probably
But you're an agreeable guy. You'll say yes to anything for the most part.
The thing that I have learned in my nearly 40 years of life is there are some things that are important and there are other things that are just not important.
Yes.
And most things are just not that important. Right? Like my wife lets me go play golf when I want to play golf.
Yeah.
She's very understanding with the job and the time demands that I have. So, yeah, when she wants to do something, I want to be as amenable as possible because she's pretty, you know, doesn't give me a hard time about my job or when I want to play golf in the summer.
Yeah. Now, Josh seems more of a 70-30.
90-10.
Wow. I was about to say, you're giving Josh 30?
That's a good week for me.
Is it really? So you think you're worse off than me?
Wait. How much do you think you have?
Me?
Yeah.
I said 80-20. Which is probably...
That seems like a lot for you, pal.
She lets me have lunches with the blammer.
I think mine's different because mine don't come with threats. Yours often has punishments and threats.
Yeah,
and
like when you mess up, next thing you know, you've got glasses that have hearing aids in them.
I'm more a blend of you and Gabe, whereas all the decisions for both you and I, Chewy, get made usually without much of our input.
Yes.
The problem is I don't really fight back all that much. I'm more Gabe in the way of like, whatever.
Yeah,
it's not gonna make much of a difference to me.
This is not that important. Yeah. I am not putting my foot down.
Yeah, I don't even know if I've really tried to put my foot down on stuff just because I'm not interested in. Not that I'm like fearful.
Yeah,
because what do I care? I jokingly made a contraption approval process and it got laughed at, and I knew it would. I understood.
Yeah. Yeah, there's really nothing I do to push the envelope the more I look at it.
No, you just mess up.
Which is not my fault.
Interesting to hear how
rarely
you justify
is.
This one.
Rarely is.
Yeah, I make some colossal mistakes. It usually has to do with money or driving or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
And turns out there are consequences to those actions in your household.
But I learned from a Gabe, like, I know I'm not allowed to pull the car up to the mailbox anymore.
How many mailboxes did you take out in order to learn that lesson?
It's more of a monetary thing. One was like $4,000 fix.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why I turned into the mailbox. Yeah. And then the trailer didn't help.
No. Nope.
The trailer into the tailgate and the truck had, I think, about 68 miles on it.
Yeah, so mistakes happen is, I think, what happens in your household. You just pay for those mistakes.
Yeah, but I learn.
And restrictor,
but I learn.
I feel like restrictor plates are placed on you.
Yeah. Like
you know,
the trailer, it's now at my father-in-law's. I'm not allowed to hook it up at all. I mean, really think there was a big difference between 1 7/8 and a 2-inch ball? I guess there is. I was proven wrong.
Yeah, they don't give you measurements just for fun. It's not a funsies thing.
Yeah, but Josh, I can wear 2X. I can wear 2X. It's not quite as comfortable as 2XLT, but I could still wear it.
You realize the difference between putting on a shirt and the mechanisms involved with hooking up a trailer, traveling with them, and, you know, sustaining the bounces, the turns.
He does now.
Well, I know that now. Yeah.
Again, because our guy, Joshy, he is a, you know, he's thirsting for knowledge. He is looking to add to the level of knowledge that he has, and he learns those lessons.
No.
Yeah.
He's got
kind of like the Packers, he has to learn them the hard way, but he learns those lessons.
He's got a habitual issue with trying to step on the line, toe the line, see what he can get away with. Just inching up close, seeing if he can get close to disaster, but yet still avoid it.
Like, she paid me a compliment the other day,
ooh,
which is few and far between. So I've had this diesel truck for a year and a half, 2 years. She's like, I cannot believe you have not put regular gas in that thing yet.
That's not a compliment.
It kind of is.
That's an insult.
The stickers that she put in there, she put three of them inside the gas cap that says diesel only.
I can't believe you have it. I mean,
she's calling him a moron.
Yeah. But she didn't, so because she didn't use the word moron, he feels like it's a compliment.
I think it was. I feel good about myself. In a time that we're kind of struggling to stay positive, I thought that was positive.
Well, we're going to try to stay positive. Because you know what? I think Rob was positive with us.
Yeah, let's not be negative today.
Yeah, Rob was positive with us and put some perspective on it that I think at least helped me. And I was trying to spread that word. We'll see what Jason Wildley has to say and how positive he is about the Packers' outlook as they get ready to take on the Chicago Bears this weekend. Jason Wildley joining us next. But if you guys are still thinking sweater, candles, that same old gift, well, why don't you upgrade it? Try to upgrade a $2,000 Jewelry Center gift certificate. You can enter now to win that $2,000 in Jewelry Center gift certificate at goodcoverbrands.com/Wisconsin contests. goodcoverbrands.com/Wisconsin contests. No purchases necessary. Contest ends December 23rd. Rules are online to win that $2,000 Jewelry Center gift certificate.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wildy on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wildy is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros, ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
We do have some good reactions from our opening segment on the Carveless Talk and Text Line. We will get to those momentarily because we welcome in our friend, we welcome in our teammate, we welcome in Jason Wildy. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're better today.
We're slowly working our way better. Still, the Micah Parsons thing. Yeah, Micah Parsons, it still stings, Jason. But what went through your mind after, again, you saw it all unfold and then it ends yesterday with Micah confirming and then making a prediction that he's going to be back in September from this ACL injury?
Yeah, I hope he's right. But the first thing that went through my mind was, well, there goes the Super Bowl. Yeah, I understand that there's a lot of football left to be played. They still got a lot of good players. I think they're going to win on Saturday night. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to have a home playoff game. But I think that they can still do some good things. What was crazy was that until the play where Watson gets hurt on the interception, you know, I thought, here we go, right? They're on a four-game winning streak. They're up 23-14. I just thought, these guys are legit. And then it's funny how things change in the NFL on a dime. Like, so you go from thinking, this is really impressive. They're going into Denver. They're up nine. They're in a position to snap these guys' winning streak and just keep that momentum going, and then the bottom just falls out. So I do have a question for Mr. Shimura, if he would field it for me.
Sure.
So Tausch brought this up yesterday on our show, and it was the year before I started covering the team. The first game I ever covered was Yancey Thigpen, Merry Christmas, Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys lose Reggie in a game against the Bengals to a torn hamstring in 1995. He misses the following week against Tampa Bay, and you lose that game 13-10. Is this all coming back to you?
Yes, but I actually thought it was the year before, Jason. I didn't realize that was the San Francisco year where we beat them. Was that the wild card round or divisional round?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you're leading in Dallas in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Do you have any recollection? Because, you know, before God miraculously healed his hamstring, he was going to be done for the year.
Yeah.
And you're thinking that's the case in that Cincinnati game, and then you lose to the Buccaneers. Do you have any recollection of, I know that was 30 years ago now,
yeah,
but do you have any recollection on how you guys were feeling at the time? Because then, unlike Micah Parsons, he comes back for the last two regular season games, and then obviously you reach the NFC Championship game. Do you remember that at all, and how you were feeling and thinking?
Yeah, we were deflated, but we weren't deflated for very long. Because I remember the word got out pretty quickly that, Jason, I don't know if you remember, but Reggie actually went over to Holmgren's house and told him that God had healed him. And it got back to us. And you know Reggie. Jason, you've been around Reggie long enough on how Reggie's Reggie. We were kind of skeptical until we actually saw him on the field. Now, he wasn't the player he was, but he was still pretty darn good. But I look at that, Jason, that team was so good. I mean, this team is good, but that defense was still number one. We had some solid players, and offensively, I think we were number two. So even though we took a major hit, I still think we thought, maybe not win the Super Bowl, but we could actually compete for it. You know, because like we had some good players. I just look at this defense as you got Micah Parsons and then a gap, right? And especially on the defensive line. I just think.
Well, and your second, your second best defensive lineman is also out.
Could they still do it if they had Tucker Kraft and they had Devontae Wyatt? But I think when you put all those top 10, top 5 players into a pod, it's just, I don't see it happening.
So Tausch's point was you still had Favre, and that maybe Jordan's not obviously – because that's the year that Favre wins his first MVP.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I was – because I guess one of the arguments I would make is not only do – Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary need to elevate, and J.J. Enagbare and the rest of the defense need to elevate, but that Jordan Love has to elevate. And was there an attitude of, hey, all right, we lost the Minister of Defense, but, dude, we got a quarterback who's going to win the MVP. We can beat anybody still. Like, because that's the thing that I'm curious about, how that would compare with where this team is.
Jason, I still don't think we believed we could win the Super Bowl until we beat San Fran in San Fran.
I would agree with that.
I think once we beat them and we kind of kicked the crap out of them, like, hey, maybe we can do this. But up until that point, I mean, because players know. They're not stupid. You know when you go into a tough – you know, let's just say the Packers are going in to play the Rams with Parsons. You're like, oh, man – In L.A., you're like, we're going to have to play really, really good to beat this team. You know?
But you think you but you have more confidence because you've got your, you know, thoroughbred pass rusher. I'm just trying to understand the psyche of this team now, because they're going to say all the right, like, I'll be at Lambeau today, and they're going to say all the right things, right? We still got a lot of good players. Mm-hmm. Nothing changes for us. But down deep inside, I've tried to do the bargaining too. And I do believe that they do still have a bunch of good players, and that they can beat the Bears. And because, look, they were ready to go into this season without Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, they spent the offseason, they spent all of training camp, because the trade is on August 28th, thinking that their defense was not going to include one of the best pass rushers in all of football. So I do think there's some element of truth to that. At the same time, when you've had him for 14 games and then you experience the absolutely devastating feeling of seeing him blow out his knee, it's not like it would have been had they never had him all season long. It's different because you did have him and you did see what he was able to do and you did see what this defense was capable of. So I'm just, you know me, I understand the X's and O's. I'm not the ball knower that old T is, but I'm always fascinated by team dynamics and psyche and confidence and chemistry, because Lord knows that is part of success. And I'm really curious to see how this team responds.
Well, I can tell you this right now, Jason. I'm picking them to lose, and picking them to lose handily. Not because they're not talented enough to beat them, but because this is so emotionally hard to get over. Coupled with the fact that the Bears are going to be sky high, that place is going to be crazy, and Ben Johnson has them believing. It's just mentally, it's just hard to get over.
And the only thing I wonder is there a one game bump, right? Is there a one game, you know,
do
not win
Micah.
One for the Gipper?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But yes, exactly.
And so Jason, not only yes, I have been firmly on the yes. It's not just going to be Micah Parsons Rashawn Gary has to step in, Lucas Van Ness. I think a lot of it falls onto Jordan Love, and he has to play more like the guy he was in the first half and the guy he was on Thanksgiving than what ultimately happened in the second half, which, again, I can easily see how that gets away from you after Christian Watson and Micah Parsons both leave the game. But he still needs his full complement of weapons. What do you think the odds are of Christian Watson being able to play on Saturday? Because I am skeptical. While I'm glad that he is okay, and it's seemingly not a long-term injury, I have a hard time believing that you're going to be going from hospital Sunday to playing on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with that premise, but you know, there are instances, and this is in no way a criticism of him for feeling that much pain, okay? But there are instances where in the moment you see guys that you're like, oh my God, like, look at how much pain this guy's in. And then it turns out to not be anything other than, you know, just extremely excruciatingly painful in the moment, and then they're good to go. I mean, I have seen that a lot. And the fact that there's no internal injuries, right? Because, and we talked about this after the game, we talked about it yesterday. When you hear a guy has a chest injury, not a rib injury, right? Not a shoulder injury, not a collar. Like, when it's a collarbone, they always announce it as a shoulder first, right?
Yep.
So when they said chest, I was like, oh my God, right? Like, well, he's going, I bet he's going to the hospital. They're going to see if he punctured his lung. Like when Cobb landed on that microphone pack.
Oh, yep.
And where was that? Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he ends up puncturing his lung. That was announced as a chest injury. So you, of course, fear the worst. But then he goes to the hospital. He doesn't end up being admitted, doesn't have to stay overnight, travels home with the team. So then you're like, okay, It's not anything, you know, he didn't lacerate his kidney, all that stuff. On top of that, he didn't break his collarbone, right? We would have, like, we would know that by now. So I would be cautiously optimistic that he will be able to go. Now, look, it's 7:34 a.m. We have locker room at 4 o'clock today. I can tell you that I'll be building a campsite in front of his locker. And, look, Rashawn Gary does not come in there very often when we're in there. I watched the Packers.com videos of him talking after the game in Denver. He was very emotional. But I would love to hear him say, I have to put this team on my back now. I have to be better. Because I do believe that that is another major component of this. Let's, you know, they paid him to be a great player. And I appreciate why Jeff Hafley was so publicly supportive of him. And let's be honest, I don't know about you guys, I thought Rashawn Gary was playing pretty damn well on Sunday. Like, I thought he was an actual factor in the game. Now he's gone 7 games without a sack. That needs to change. But I thought there was at least some signs of encouragement. Now, he was doing that, of course, while Micah Parsons was still on the field. So I want to, if I'm a Packers fan, I want to see him. I want to see Van Ness take that, let's, you know, win one for Micah kind of attitude and really and truly elevate their performances.
Well, I agree with that, Jason. It did not help Rashawn Gary on the play where both him and Parsons are trying to chase down Bo Nix and Micah goes sprinting past him. And I'm not saying that's a lack of effort. I'm just saying Micah's a freak, and seeing him be able to run like that in the open field and just blowing past Rashawn Gary, I did not think that did Rashawn any favors.
No, I would look at it from the other side as well, which is it just underscores how unbelievably different
Micah
Parsons is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like, and again, I know the small faction of Jordan Love, like, I don't know if I could be more positive about Jordan Love this season. Because I think he's been really, really good for really important stretches. And I think I have a ton of respect for him. We've talked about it a bunch, about how he owns his mistakes so much better than his predecessors. But it's also, that's the kind of stuff where, you know, you don't get to see it anymore because the other guy's in Pittsburgh, although he played pretty damn well again last night. But there's just another level, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's just... You see the throws that Rodgers made during his career, and you see Jordan make some unbelievable throws. It just feels like there is another level special.
Well, because, Jason, that's where, you know, everybody who wants to point out, well, look at these first 3 years, the numbers between Aaron and Jordan, they're really similar. Well, in year 4, Aaron became special. So that's, like, Aaron wasn't always Aaron. He grew into that player. So while it is encouraging to me that Jordan Love is matching what Aaron did his first 3 seasons, Aaron took a big jump in year 4. So next year, I think for Jordan, that is going to be a huge year in his growth, right? To your point of there is still room for him to grow. It's not like Aaron was always 4-time MVP guy, especially those first 3 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, the seminal moment for him, obviously, is the Atlanta playoff game.
Yep.
That is the moment. Like, you you saw it building, right? In 2009, you saw those comparisons to Love are very fair. Like, you've seen moments from Love and you saw moments from Rodgers in 2009. Boy, that's special. Then you saw him in 2010, there were games like that as well. And then but you could feel it kind of crescendoing toward what he became. And I think Jordan is maybe if these were two graphs that were following each other, maybe Jordan's, you know, line, let's say Rodgers is a green line and Jordan is a gold line. The gold line is a little bit lower as both of them are ascending on the pie, on the graph chart. But at some point there needs to be that moment where then it just goes straight up. And for Rodgers, that was Atlanta in the divisional round. We'll see if Jordan has one of those moments, but Lord knows, after what happened with Micah Parsons. I mean, Micah Parsons' injury made it to Good Morning America today.
Wow.
Which is, you know, my prep for our show. So that tells you how big of an injury that is. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes' blood is ACL, Micah Parsons' blood is ACL. And now it's time for Jordan Love to play at a really high level to get these guys to where they want to go, or at least close to it.
Jason, I know we're up against it, but we talked to Rob yesterday, and Gabe, refresh my memory. Rob pretty much volunteered the fact that he believes that Ed Policy is going to go back to the old way of doing things, the GM's the boss. Could this prevent LaFleur from signing an extension? Because we all know that this is a league of massive egos, and I don't know how you handle a guy who's your equal to now becoming your boss when we really don't know what the relationship is.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
If that's the case, and you know, I will tell you that Rob is a very good reporter. I have not heard that. And I would frankly say this, that smells like a huge can of worms to me. You know, think back to 2005 and how that played out, when not only does Bob Harlan strip Mike Sherman of his GM role, but then he brings in Ted. And Bob will tell you it is one of the biggest mistakes he ever made. He should have just fired Mike Sherman altogether. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike Sherman was walking around the halls, not talking to anybody. It was bad. I have no idea who or what has given Rob that impression, so I'm not going to speak to that at all. I look at that and think, Why would Ed Policy want to give up that power? Because his predecessor argued that this is the way the league has gone, and he did so correctly. Like most teams now, they do have it set up that way, where both the coach and the GM report to, in that case, the owner. So I'd be curious what has led Rob to believe that. I'm very curious to know how Matt LaFleur would respond to that, because you're right. And I've always been dubious on what that working relationship looked like.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again later this week.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Connie's delivers pizzeria taste without the pizzeria price. And when it's BOGO at Pick and Save, it's even better. But you got to do it. You got to do it by today. Today is the last day to head over to Pick and Save and stock up on Connie's with the cornmeal dusted thin crust. All natural premium ingredients that you're going to love, and have that pizzeria experience coming straight from your oven. So you got to get to Pick and Save. You got to get there today. Take advantage of buy one, get one BOGO on Connie's frozen pizza going on through today at Pick and Save. Connie's, you know they deliver that pizzeria taste without the pizzeria price.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact? Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So we started out the show, we were talking a little bit about junk drawers, and then we were talking about the things Chewy has done to get himself in trouble that has landed him on the not-so-nice list with his wife, and that leads to him getting things taken away. So people had some follow-up questions, Chew, about the things that you've done. You mentioned backing a truck and hitting the mailbox and some of the repairs that it's cost. I believe one time it cost $4,000 to repair the mailbox. Is that correct?
Roughly.
Will wants to know, did you hit a mailbox made of gold?
No, it was the car that had the damage. The mailbox was a little tin box, although I did have to fix that.
That was a question that happened. And also, because you do have, what is the number of people your wife would like you to talk to every day?
Six.
So he has to hit six. So our guy, Josh in Heartland, Text in on the Carpool's Talk at text line 800-990-3776. Chewy, I've seen you a couple of times at Home Depot. Even though I've already met you as your temporary music producer, now I'm wondering, if it happens again, would I be doing you a favor by going up and talking to you?
Yeah, that would be one.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so Josh and Heartland, who again, that was 2 years ago that we put together all those songs for the Wildy and Towers headlines, and Josh and Heartland came in and helped us out with all that.
Man, that feels like yesterday. Hey, let me ask you a question, Gabe.
Please.
In conversation with Jason, did I represent what Rob said correctly? Because I felt I did.
Yeah, I don't. Rob does have a feeling like it's a possibility. I don't know if he thinks it's going to happen, but it seems like he at least thinks it's possible that the Packers go back to the old way, where it's going to be where Brian Gutekunst. Because I asked the follow-up with Rob yesterday, because Goody and LaFleur were both placed on the same hot seat, both in the exact situation at the beginning of the season, Chew, or I guess at the beginning of the tenure when he took over in July, where, hey, these two guys have 2 years left on their contracts, we're not extending them, we don't like the lame duck thing. But it seems like Rob is at least of the belief that Gutekunst is safe, and it seems like he thinks that LaFleur is safe as well. Because, to Rob's point, if you don't know what you're doing by now, like, what are we doing? Like, I don't think these last three games are going to influence you that much one way or the other. But again, if Goody is that safe and policy doesn't want to have the power of, yeah, I want to hire the head coach, he just wants to leave that up to the GM, that power dynamic shifting would be really interesting, and I'm glad Jason brought up 2005. Like, that was weird, and the Packers were terrible. That was the 1 year.
Yeah,
I know Tausch calls them the best 4-12 team of all time, but at the end of the day, you were 4-12.
Yeah, and I think in regards to the league trending this way, see, I looked at it as more as a Mark Murphy thing. Like I said, there's massive egos all over this league. A Mark Murphy thing being, hey, I played this game. I was a really good player for 9 years. I know how to hire a coach. I know how to hire a GM. Ed Policy never played in the league. Everyone knew his dad. His dad had this structure in San Francisco, which was incredibly successful. You know, and I don't know Ed Policy at all, but he seems to me like a level-headed guy. I just don't know.
Well, and that's just the thing.
How it would work with LaFleur.
And that's the thing. Like, we get to know these presidents as time goes on, right? And everybody, by the end of Bob Harlan's tenure as the president, I feel like everybody had a pretty good read on Bob.
Yeah.
By the end of Mark Murphy's presidency, everybody had a pretty good read on Mark Murphy. Because they don't speak all that often. It's not very often where we get to see them and see guys like Jason and Rob have the opportunity to ask them questions. So we know what they're thinking. We know what their philosophies are on how they want a team to look. So we've heard Ed Policy as Packers president speak, what, twice at this point? Like, it's just hard to get a read, to your point. I think it's hard to get a read on Ed Policy and how he wants this operation to run.
But Gabe, the two Super Bowls that Green Bay has won in the last 30 whatever years was under that structure.
Correct. Where it was, because it was, it was Bob, Ron, and then Mike. And then in the previous one, it was Mark, Ted, and McCarthy.
So
that is the way they did it. Man, I guess we don't know enough about the relationship between Goody and LaFleur either. Right? Like, there have been times where it seems like there's been a fracture in that relationship. There have been times when it's felt like it's fine. And they're rowing the boat in the same direction. You know, I think of the reports of, oh, LaFleur's not going to the combine. How much input does he really have in draft picks? And then we have the Micah Parsons trade where Goody didn't want to pull the trigger on that unless everybody was on board. So he goes to LaFleur, makes sure everybody's on the same page. And obviously they pull off quite possibly the biggest trade in Packers history for Micah Parsons.
But the structure, Gabe, of the successful teams are of the old way, right? Where the GM is the boss of, Now, obviously, I think in Kansas City, Andy Reid is the GM and
Andy's got all the power. Coach. Andy's got all the power in Kansas City.
But Philly?
I don't know what Philly's structure is, I guess, off the top of my head. I don't know.
Really?
I think Roseman has the power to hire and fire Sirianni. I believe that's the case. I don't know that 100% for sure. But I think that is the old way, the way you're used to seeing things.
But like Pittsburgh, I don't think they've changed. Baltimore,
nope.
I think I don't think they've changed.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure Detroit, the GM is the boss. Tampa Bay, the GM is the boss. San Francisco, the GM is the boss. Denver, I believe the GM. I'm not sure about Denver after they hired.
Oh, Sean Payton's clearly the boss.
But I'm just looking at your successful teams.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. Something to keep our eye on,
I guess. That, it is, again, and it was interesting from Rob yesterday to talk about that. And I'm sure that is something that we're going to bring up once we get out of the season as well.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for those contract extensions and see what happens to see if what Rob is potentially hearing eventually comes to fruition. Is your business ready to take the next step at Fifth Third Commercial Bank, Wisconsin? Their team of local experienced advisors here to propel you forward. They understand your needs and offer in-depth expertise, cutting-edge technology, tailored solutions to streamline your cash collections, automate payments, and safeguard your assets with top-notch fraud mitigation tools. Contact Fifth Third in downtown Milwaukee today. Let's eliminate the non-value ad work so you can focus on what truly matters most. Growing your business, Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kinda like a, instead of a, huh?
Yeah. But that's all part of taking the training law. I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it.
What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jason had asked you, Chew, when he was on just moments ago, about a temporary bump. And I know you have kind of pointed at this game that the Bears, they're believing, Ben Johnson has them all rowing the boat in the same direction. They've bought in. Do you think Jason might be onto something that they could, the Packers? I kind of look at it similarly as when a coach gets fired and a team gets a bump because they all rally around and they're like, well, we got to rally. We got to put these things together, prove that it was the coach and it's not us, right? Is there a chance that you see of the Packers putting together that one game bump and being able to rally? Because, this is a huge game. Like, if the Packers lose this game, they would need to win the final two games, and the Bears would have to lose their final two games in order to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
You lose this game, and you are fighting for your playoff life.
I could see it as a bump from the stand, because I bring up the Jason Garrett thing, because I remember, when we got the news that he was going to be starting against our defense, which was pretty good at that time. And, the old putting the hands together and here we go. And then, God, I think that offense put up like 38 points or something like that from the third string. Could you imagine the Packers starting the third string quarterback putting up 38 points? It's just bad. I could see it from that aspect. I just think Chicago, it's been so long. They're starving. It's, it's your rival. That place is going to be electric. And, we feel it, right? How deflated are we? How bad was yesterday?
Yesterday was bad. But I feel deflated. Better. Honestly, I'm starting to feel better today because I'm placing my eggs in the Jordan Love basket. Like, this is his opportunity to go and show that he is that guy. That he can still lead this team to the postseason. Look, I don't feel great about a Super Bowl possibility, but you win this game and suddenly you're in the driver's seat for the two seed and you're sitting in a pretty good spot. Now, again, going into Los Angeles and beating the Rams would be another thing, Chew.
Yeah.
But if you win this game, you're sitting, chances of going on a little bit of a run, despite not having your guys, just it increases tenfold.
But I don't know how you sit here and expect the team to be put on Rashawn Gary's back when his job just got much tougher.
I'm not putting in a Rashawn Gary's bet. I'm putting on Jordan Love's back.
No, I know, but I'm just saying because Jason was bringing it up. He's hoping that, you know, Rashawn, that ain't happening.
Yeah,
his job is going to get more difficult.
Yeah.
And we think he's going to elevate his game?
I don't.
Yes.
I think that, to me, it's on the two people that are going to be most responsible. We can continue this conversation in just a moment. The two people most responsible for mitigating the loss of Micah Parsons,
yeah,
Jeff Hafley and Jordan Love.
Correct. Because, Gabe, there's no more chipping a D-end. There's no more double-teaming a D-end. That's another receiver out,
yep,
in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Out into the pattern.
Yep.
So their job just got much more difficult.
And that's why it's on Jeff Hafley to try to get this team back to what,
yeah,
they were a year ago when they did not have Micah Parsons. We continue this conversation in 2 minutes. Jen Gabe and Chewy.